Hello, hello, Heat Nation. Welcome back to Heaters Gonna Heat, Miami Heat podcast for the OTG Podcast Network. There were some technical issues and then the All-Star break, but now Miami is back and they're ready for the second half of the season. And they started it off tonight with a win over the in-state rival Orlando Magic to improve to above 500 for literally the first time this season. Like, even way back in the beginning, we have always been 500 or less. But, again, it's one of those things that kind of goes to show why we can't overreact too much, and I was guilty of it myself earlier in the season. But these seasons are long. Even in this COVID-shortened season, it's still 72 games, which is plenty of time for all the injuries and stuff that we had in the beginning to still kind of right the ship and get back into action, which is just what they've done tonight. They got above 500 for the first time, and they're pretty securely, at least in the playoff picture, for what it is now. We'll talk a little more about that later. But first, let's take a look into what's really been driving all the wins that Miami's had for the last 10 games. Just for a point of reference, they've been playing pretty well. Their offensive rating has improved from 25th overall for the season. They've been 18th in offensive rating for the last 10 games. So again, it's one of those things where it's like, it's kind of weird, and especially in comparison to last year, because last year they were primarily an offensive team that could not defend very well. This year they're a defensive team that cannot score very well, but you know, we'll take what we can get as long as we get to the playoffs, and then we'll play differently from there. But nonetheless, still going from 25th in the bottom third of the league to 18th, closer to the middle of the league, is significant improvement. But the defensive, like I mentioned earlier, is where they've really been elite. They've gone up from 8th overall in the season, so they were already top 10 defense. Not a lot you can go up from there. But now they're up to 3rd in for the last 10 games. So really been locking down opponents, which for anybody that's been a fan of Miami Heat teams for a few years, you kind of understand last year the offensive team was more so the outlier. Even in the post-LeBron era, Miami has still consistently had top 10 defense. So, again, last year's more so the outlier. This year, we're a little bit back to our bread and butter. So, I tried looking through and tried to figure out, okay, where are the jumps coming from within these last 10 games? Oddly enough, for offensive, I tried looking at a few different stats. Three-point attempts, about the same. Three-point shootings, about the same. Percentage-wise, it's about the same. Number of field goals attempts was up a little bit. Most of the other ones, effective field goal percentage is all the same. Really, the big highlight that ended up coming out from just some offensive analysis was turnovers. So Miami was very, very bad at turnovers early at the beginning of the year. We've consistently been near the bottom of the league in terms of turnover statistics. So for example, 28th in the league in turnovers per game, 29th in the league in turnover percentage. So again, the Heat, we're not doing a good job to take care of the ball, which obviously is a problem. You have a lot of turnovers, then that leads to a lot of fast break opportunities for the opponent, which then hurts your defense. So it's one of those things, it's like you're kind of hurting yourself on both ends of the floor with the turnovers. Where they have done tremendously well in the last 10 games, though, is addressing that core issue. So, for example, for the last 10 games, they've gone up from 28th in the league on average at 15.6 turnovers a game. They've cut that down to 13.2 turnovers a game, which is good for 11th in the league. So massive jump up there, which also has brought their turnover percentage from 29th in the league up to 16th. So again, one of the things where it's like they were very, very bad at it. They're not necessarily good or elite per se, but trending in the right direction. Where that's had a big impact as well, like I mentioned before, if being bad at turnovers is going to hurt your defense, taking care of the ball is also going to help your defense. So defensively, while they have shown some improvement, specifically in the steals area, moving from 19th in the league at 7.1 to 12th in the league at 8.0 steals per game just for the last 10, really it's been things like opponents' points off turnovers. It went from 27th in the league at about 18.6 points to 3rd over the last 10 games at 12.6. So massively cut down on just the points that they're giving off of these turnovers. Just again, like, you turn the ball over less, it's less fast breaks, which we also see in opponent points off fast breaks. They were still very, very good, actually, even before, like on the season average, they were fourth at only 10.6 fast break points per game. So obviously, there's still obviously an emphasis for the Miami defense to limit fast breaks, but they've taken that up to the highest level now. Over the last 10 games, they've been first in the league at only 7.6. So you got to think, we live in this pace and space era. Teams love to get out and run. Over the last 10 games, nobody's been doing better at limiting teams from getting out to run than Miami, which helps the defense, helps set up their half-court defense, and from there, they can continue to restrict opponents. It's how they've gone from a really good defense at 8th to an elite defense at 3rd for the last 10 games. Which honestly couldn't have come at a better time. No team dealt with the combination of the shortest offseason and the injury problems that Miami had, not even the Lakers. And now that the Heat are hopefully beyond it, they can focus on just trying to lock up this playoff seed. So on that note, let's take a look. Currently in the standings, Miami is 5th. Big emphasis, though, on the word currently, because there is a massive logjam in the East this year. So if you look at, like, the upper tier of the East, the primarily that is the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Nets, those three are pretty comfortably up in an upper tier of their own right now. Just for example, the Bucks are pretty solidly in the third seed, and there's a 4-game difference between third and fourth, which still, we got half a season left. That is time for there to be some changing up, but it's definitely an uphill battle. So conversely, though, if there's a 4-game difference between third and fourth, there's only a 2-game difference, so half of that, between the 4th seed and the 11th seed, which is just this huge range that has everything from home court advantage for the 4th seed to not even in a playoff game in the 11th seed. And again, 2-game difference when there's a 4-game difference between third and fourth. Just try to give you an idea then of how much shuffling then can go on in the middle of the East. So just for a point of reference, the teams that make up this massive logjam includes the Celtics, Heat, Knicks, Hornets, Hawks, Raptors, Pacers, and Bulls. So if I'm taking bets right now, I would probably say that the Celtics and Heat, just get off of that list, have the best bets, and just based off a track record as well, and they're both teams are starting to get healthy at the same time. Those two are probably the best bets to avoid the play-in tournament. So this would be 4th, 5th, or 6th seed would avoid the play-in tournaments. I guess I probably should just go over that real quick then. So the NBA is doing a different system this year. Usually it would be top 8 teams go in, one plays 8, you know, all the normal stuff that happens with the playoffs. This year, though, is a little bit different. So 7 through 10 seeds are going to have what's called a play-in tournament. Essentially how that's going to work is the 7th and 8th seed will play a game. The winner of that takes the 7th seed. Then the loser from that 7-8 game will host the winning team of the 9 and the 10th seeds that will play each other. So if you're 9th or 10th seed and you lose, you're just out. If you win, you get to go play the loser of the 7 to 8 seed, and the winner of that one gets the 8 seed to go on. Little weird, obviously. We'll cover that more if we get to that point. Hopefully we don't, because we get higher. But the point of that all is, though, is that you kind of have to think of it in different kinds of tiers this year for the playoffs. Usually we would just think of it like, okay, 1 through 4 seeds good to have because at least you get home court advantage for one of the games. 5th through 8th, okay, you're in the like lower part of it, but you're still in, so cool, do a good job. And obviously last year, granted with the bubble, but last year Miami was 5th seed, they made it all the way to the NBA Finals. So it's not like it's a death sentence or anything. But this year is a little bit different. So you still have that 1 through 4 getting home court advantage, but then in addition, you want to be at least the top 6. So then you avoid all this play-in nonsense. So if we're looking at it right now, like I said earlier, the Celtics and Heat are both healthy and probably had the best track records for me. These were the two teams that were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. But imagine that they'd be able to right the ship and at least secure a top 6 to avoid the play-in seats. That 6th one could potentially be like Raptors or Pacers, I would probably bet. If Raptors really depends if they want to move on from Kyle Lowry. And then the Pacers, I just think the Pacers have too much there to not at least there. not at least get a they should be in the running. And then everything else is just chaos. But again, the big problem right now is Miami can't really mess around. Two-game difference between home court and out of the play-in tournament altogether. So one of those teams, Celtics, Heat, Knicks, Hornets, Hawks, Raptors, Pacers, or Bulls, one of those teams isn't even going to be in the play-in tournament. That is huge. This is half of the Eastern Conference right here that's in this logjam. The lower tier, the 12th seed, the Wizards right now are at the 12th seed. They're two games behind the 11th, so a little bit of a gap. They could make some noise as well. But for the most part, Miami at 5th right now is, and on the upswing, has a real chance here to start out and start building up some ground, because they're going to need it if they want to avoid the play-in tournament. And towards that, Miami's next game, fun times, back-to-back tomorrow night, well, tonight by the time that this gets posted, is against the Chicago Bulls. Again, this is one of those things where this is now an opportunity for Miami to start building distance, at least against somebody else that's also in that logjam. So, big, important win. Everyone's important at this point. Nonetheless, though, we do need to get this and at least start to push, because, again, one of those teams is going to be on the outside looking in of even the play-in tournament. So we do need to start keeping ourselves as high up as possible. The Bulls obviously have just as much motivation to win this game as we do, because they're trying to get themselves back into the swing of things and get back up in the mix. They do have an all-star in Zach LaVine, so we have to respect that at least. But for the most part, I think Miami, at least on the level that they've been playing defense, and given how, in general, bad the Bulls' offense is, their offense is actually pretty solid. But how bad, in general, their defense is, Miami should be able to pull this one out and continue to solidify themselves moving up these rankings. After the Bulls on Friday, we get the Magic again on Sunday. Should be, hopefully, a repeat of what happened tonight. I mean, the Magic, they're at the, 13th, 14th seed, and they've just been so decimated by injuries. They've kind of spoke about it where they're like, yeah, kind of going to be one of those years where they're going to probably blame the injury bug and take a decent lottery pick and just be fine dropping out and try to come back next year healthier. Which, hey, good for Miami. We will completely take advantage, and everyone helps. So by then, it'll be Sunday night, and I'll be posting again. We'll talk about where we kind of go from there. Bit of a shorter episode. I'm trying to get into the swing of things and just trying to be more so posting consistently. I will be doing an upcoming one on trades, just because trades are a bit of a discussion for Miami. I just got to plot that out a little bit more. But nonetheless, I do thank you all very much for tuning in. Please check out the OTG Podcast Network. They do some good work on the outlet and all. You can find a good number of your other teams out there. And I just want to say that part real quick in case you just want to peace out now. I thank you very much. The last thing I wanted to discuss a little bit, though, is the situation with Myers-Leonard. So if you don't want to get into what does it mean to be beyond a player on the court, I thank you very much, and hope you catch me next time. And if you are still here, well, then I guess you're here to hear about the Myers stuff. So for just to make sure that everybody, we're all talking from the same knowledge standpoint, Myers-Leonard was on a Twitch stream earlier in the week, and as for anybody that's played COD or any sort of multiplayer game, you eventually can reach points where you get frustrated and you like to use expletives. You know, I've done it myself. The difference, though, is usually you want to go with neutral expletives that don't really target anybody in specific and is just a form of letting anger out. Leonard, however, went with a little bit of a different approach, which was to, one, and again, I feel this is important, pause for a few seconds to think about what was going to be said, whether you want to speculate that he was trying to think of a specific word, or if he had the word in mind and was trying to figure out if it was fine to say. Again, that's by definition kind of speculating. Whatever the reason for the pause, though, was enough time that he ended it with throwing out an anti-Semitic slur, which I had to Google just because I had never heard of it. And turns out it was like a popularized in like the 1940s, which around the same time that we had the Holocaust and all that. So there's some clear history with that word and a lot of negative connotations with it. Again, I think that is important to emphasize that he paused, he had an opportunity to collect himself, and then he threw out the word, which he's come out and said he didn't know what it means, but that's kind of an odd word to throw out when you don't know what it means, when it's kind of era-specific. Regardless, a lot of people have been calling him out for it. He shouldn't have done it. It's mean, hateful, racist, all that terrible stuff that we don't want from NBA players. We always sometimes unfairly think of them as role models, but in this situation, like, please be the role model. Just don't say racist stuff. But he did it. NBA has fined him. They suspended him for a week. Kind of a slap on the wrist, but for the most part, he might get his real punishment at the end of this season, where he was already very likely to have his team option declined anyway, just because of what Miami was hoping to do with freeing up that money to try to do other stuff. But doubly so now. I mean, he's very quickly become a toxic asset. That's what happens when you say racist stuff like that, unfortunately. So it'll pretty much be a question of whether or not another team would pick him up. I know it feels bad to kind of turn players into like game pieces sometimes as well, but like he's also just not a terribly great player. Like, he's a solid player, solid on defense, very vocal, can shoot the three, so he has some value. It's pretty much just, what does that value mean relative to, hey, this guy was on a Twitch stream in March, paused to think of something bad to say to somebody else and decided upon an older era specific anti-Semitic slur, which it's just, there's just so many questions about how you settle on that and think it's fine. But we'll just see. I always enjoyed Leonard for the energy and for how everybody in the locker room seemed to really like him, enjoy him. I remember the story of he was one of the first players that really got along with Jimmy Butler, and you know, we saw either an extreme display of ignorance or an extreme display of who he is or the people that he associates with. Now I would just be fine if he just leaves the Heat. That's all I have to say on that, though. I do thank you very much for sticking through for this part as well. And I hope you all have a great rest of your week. And I will be posting again Sunday night. Please be sure to check us out on Twitter at Heaters Heating, or you can check out myself at KBR Heat Nation. Also be sure again to check out all the stuff we're doing for OTG, the podcast network's booming. Can't wait for playoffs. Y'all have a good one, though.